Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
So, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, and now joining us in studio, Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Steve, can I ask you something?
You may.
Since Tim gave you, and it is now, your nickname.
Yep, I hear it all the time.
Steve Paisley Jordahl. Yeah. Yeah. Does that put you under, because you come in just about every day with a Paisley shirt. Do you feel pressure now to live up to the nickname?
I rotate them. I don't have enough to wear Paisley every day. So listen, the guy pays my salary. I'm going to go ahead and lean into it.
Right. Lean into it.
You ought to create your own line of Paisley shirts.
Hey. Could. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Steve Paisley Jordahl collection.
There you go. I mean, if it works for
the first time I saw Steve and then he had the Paisley, I was like, I didn't know anybody that wore Paisley anymore.
Right.
You know, like screams 70s.
But some people must because these are new shirts that he wears.
Which Someone's is fine. Making them. Retro.
Yeah.
I don't know. Paisley may still be popular.
So I don't know. I think it started when I first started here for some reason. I don't remember why I did it, but I wore a tie almost every day, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was trying to lead by example. No one was following, so I figured, let's just ditch that. But a lot of the ties are Paisley, and I think that might have started it. But, no, I do. We have visitors that come through. We have visitors that come through the studios every so often.
They call you.
And they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Go ahead.
If you're trying to lead by example wearing a tie, that was kind of a fool's errand around here.
Well, we try. We do our best.
As Tim said, in the wake of COVID, when everything was relaxed, our dress code relaxed here. And Tim said one time, he said, I guess you can wear anything but pajamas here.
I remember, maybe I've told this before, but when I was working for Focus, when I first started, the dress code was a shirt and tie.
You
didn't have to wear the jacket inside the office, but
That was, a lot of people remember that back not too long ago.
I started there in 2002 and everything. Here's what changed our dress code at Focus. When people who with Focus started appearing on national news like Fox or do hits on whatever, and they had to dress down to go on national television because it was a blazer and shirt with no tie.
Right.
The powers that be, I think it was Doc even, said, well, maybe we're pushing a little too hard. If you have to dress down to go on national television.
Right. In terms of dressing up, a shirt with no tie and a suit coat that's nice. I think that looks good.
That's business
but
casual.
But a tie is... when I went to an all boys Catholic high school, it was suit, coat, and tie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
every day?
Every day. And in the ministry a lot with suit, coat, and tie. But now I would pay someone to not have to wear a tie.
I had a collection of them that I
like. Brad, are you interested in this like I am? I don't even know if we need to be here, Fred.
Okay.
I'll keep on going. Okay. Go ahead.
One last thing.
Wiping the floor with me.
When I was at Focus, down the street from us was Compassion International. They had their headquarters there. They had the same dress code we do, except they instituted what they called a casual Friday, but you had to buy in. In other words, they had some nonprofits that they helped support. They had some initiatives that they wanted to support. If you wanted to pay $10 toward whatever initiative that Compassion had going, you got to wear jeans and a nice
That's
jeans and a shirt.
$40 a month.
If you wanted to. You didn't have to.
It's voluntary, though.
But, they decided to make a fundraiser out of it, Casual Friday.
Volunteer extortion.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
If you look at pictures from probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago at least, then the way, especially men, I guess, women too, because women, they just like wear the leggings all the time now. The, what do you call it, Lululemon?
That's like Lululemon.
Lululemon's like a big international brand now.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. You had me. Lululemon?
You've never heard of it?
No. I tell waitresses when they ask me what I want to drink, I'll tell them water with no Lululemon.
Anyway, it's
written in seashells in the sand on your walk.
It's a big clothing line for women.
Okay.
Especially
so basically tights.
Especially the leggings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean that just goes along with the way that our clothing has been become more casual in our everyday life experience.
Okay, I'm just gonna say this. Okay, and
no, I just remember growing up, 60s in our church, and this is the acceptable for men.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dark suits, only white shirts. If you wore a colored shirt, you were gone liberal.
Right.
I mean that.
Gone liberal.
Yeah. Really. It was only white shirts, and it was really pressing the envelope when a pastor came into the pulpit with a blue shirt. With a tie on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, in the 60s.
It was 60s.
It was really strict.
Yeah.
Do you remember watching, baseball?
You didn't go to church back then, right, Ed?
I didn't,
because your family weren't Christians.
No, we didn't go to church.
You ever seen pictures of people attending baseball games in the 50s, like Major League Baseball games?
Suit, coat, and tie.
Suit and a hat.
And a cigarette.
And a beer. I don't know if he maybe didn't have beer, but
let me just say this one thing, and then we probably should move on.
I got some more fashion commentary.
My wife. This just shows to me how the dress code has degenerated, and I fully participate in. is that my wife will sometimes we're leaving the house, and she does the leggings. Now she has a long top.
They're probably Lululemons if you'll ask her.
And she'll walk out, and sometimes she'll say, oh, my goodness, I still have my slippers on, my house shoes on. And she goes in and changes, and when she comes back out, I go, how are those not slippers that you're wearing? The things they wear on their feet, I go, that's a slipper. No, this is not. That was – I took off my house shoes.
They're flats.
They're flats.
Or baby mama shoes, what I call them. Huh?
I don't even know what that means.
Baby mama shoes.
I'll explain it to you later.
All right. Okay. Listen.
Can I have one other thing? Yeah. And then we'll finish
okay.
this up.
What
really changed among men, a lot of men, not all men, but the switch from the tucked-in shirt to the untucked shirt.
Yes.
And I think that was a big breakthrough in the human race.
Yeah. I do, too.
Because
fist bump.
Because you can come to – if I were dressed like I am right now with my shirt hanging out, which you guys – everybody but Steve does, and you were to come in 20 years ago, you'd have been sent home.
Yes. Uh-huh. It was against the dress code here.
Yeah, you're looking like a slouch, like you've been on a three-day drunk or something. You know what I'm saying? My dad would have been sent me home. My dad, of course, he passed away a couple of years ago at age 85. But, of course, he would have – he was a pastor.
Yeah.
And grew up in the 50s, born in 1938, grew up in the 50s, and then 60s, became a pastor. So he didn't always wear a suit and tie. And a suit and tie, yes, for preaching on Sunday morning.
Right.
But during the week, he would often wear a tie with a short, maybe a shirt.
Here to work.
And he wore a tie almost every day, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
He wore a tie almost every day. That's where we parted ways. Okay? That's when I'm not like my father, because I hated ties.
Uh-huh. I do. I hate them.
So ties now and suits are only reserved for graduate. Maybe no, not even graduation.
I went to the wedding.
A funeral or a wedding?
Yes, I went a couple of weeks ago. One of our coworkers, his daughter got married. Yeah. I went to that and I had a suit, coat, and tie on.
Yeah. Did you have to perform the?
No.
Okay.
No. Last comment on
okay, go.
A little bit of it has to do with necessity, the untucked thing. Back in the 50s, most men were svelte enough that to wear a shirt, tuck it in wasn't an issue. Right now, sometimes it's hard for me to tuck a shirt in.
Right.
Join
us, Steve.
Yes. I know.
Join the movement.
All right. Hey.
Come over to the dark side.
Go.
We've got some sad news to report. Yesterday, Kay Arthur, the Bible study woman who did precept for Bible study, passed away, 91 years old. The family is going to have a private memorial service, but it will be live streamed. Details will be out forthcoming. Kay Arthur passing away yesterday.
Private live streamed.
A private memorial service. You won't be
able to watch it. Okay, okay. So
you will be able to watch it on.
I got you. Because, okay. She was a wonderful lady who God reached down and I met her on several occasions over the years. You probably did too, Fred.
Yes, sir.
And her ministry was based out of Chattanooga. Precepts for Life, I think. Precepts Ministries.
Living. Precepts for Living, I think.
Okay. Anyway, she, her Bible study, which was, it was used by particularly women all over the world. I mean, it was extremely popular. K. Arthur. And so, how, what age was she?
91.
91 years old. Hmm. I probably met her 30 years ago for the first time. And so, sad news, but we know where she went.
Right.
She
Absolutely.
Went to heaven, straight yeah. to heaven.
I used to hear her speak at National Religious Broadcast. Yeah. It was their convention. And she would often speak at the Israel breakfast
yeah.
that they had there, because she was a strong, strong supporter of Israel. In fact, if I remember correctly, she did some of her videotaped Bible studies in Israel, in
right.
Jerusalem,
oh.
Has a backdrop to it. So much respect, much love, lady, in the Christian community.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, should mention probably that in Congress, Representative, Democrat Representative of Virginia, Jerry Connolly, has passed away. Sitting representative, ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, has passed away.
That I'd never heard of him.
Well, and also
yesterday,
George Wendt.
Wendt.
Who is Cheers? He was Norm.
Norm
Peterson.
Yeah.
Oh, on the TV
on the TV show, the sitcom Cheers.
Mm-hmm. They say these things happened in three, which, you know, now I feel a little more comfortable today.
Yes.
But yeah, so Norm.
What happens in three?
Deaths. Celebrity deaths.
Is that true?
That's what they say. Oh. I've just heard that.
Well, you can't question they.
No, they are always right.
Yeah. Next story.
All right. The Department of the Federal FDA, Food and Drug Administration, has released some new protocols for the COVID vaccine. So you will remember that during the Biden administration and the pandemic, the Biden administration put out what Fred and I discussed yesterday are requirements. I told Fred they would have had to tie me to a chair and literally force the shot on me. So how can you call a requirement? Then he reminded me, well, you lost your job in the military if you didn't take it. So anyway, the requirements under the Biden administration have been loosened now, and they are no longer recommending or requiring COVID vaccines for anybody under 65, unless you're a young person with a disease or condition that would contribute to COVID being more fatal to you or more detrimental to you. And so they have rolled that back. I talked yesterday to Dr. Peter McCullough, who's with the McCullough Foundation, who's kind of been at the forefront of looking at this vaccine. And I got to tell you, what he said shocked me a little bit. And I'm going to play a little bit of this. Dr. McCullough will be testifying today in about 2 hours.
I thought you were going to say Dr. McCullough will be tested.
Testifying.
Then you said ifying. Okay, never mind.
He'll be in front of the Senate House Homeland Security Committee talking about these things. And one of the things he's going to be talking about is the death rate from the COVID vaccine. And this really kind of shook me a little bit when I heard this. So apparently the vaccine, not only because we've been hearing stories about it causing heart murmurs and
babies, myocarditis,
sometimes some brain blood clots and that kind of stuff. Listen to what he said when he talks about maybe it was even worse than that, cut 13.
At this point in time, this change is long overdue. In fact, it lags the present data that indicate the COVID-19 vaccine should be removed from the market completely. We're approaching 20,000 deaths reported to the U.S. CDC vaccine adverse event reporting system at a conservative underreporting factor of 30. That means 600,000 Americans have lost their lives due to the COVID-19 vaccine.
The vaccine, not COVID itself. I looked up. I wanted to look up and see how many Americans died of COVID, And according to the statistics that are kept officially, it was 1.1 million. I wanted to run that number by Dr. McCullough yesterday after I talked to him, so I didn't record this part just to do a fact check on it. Because I wondered if some of the deaths from the vaccine lumped in with the deaths from COVID. This is what he said. Anybody that had COVID and died, you could have been shot in a robbery. If you had COVID, it would have been listed as a COVID death. So the numbers that are official statistics of COVID deaths, the 1.1 million, are vastly, according to Dr. McCullough, vastly overreported. The deaths from the vaccine are vastly, according to Dr. McCullough, underreported. The numbers by his count, 600,000 dead because of the vaccine, 100,000 dead because of the actual virus.
So that is, those are numbers that Dr. Peter McCullough has come up with. Is he going to be using those in testimony today?
He will be.
So those are numbers, the 600,000 that he says was the actual number of those who died because they got the vaccine.
Yep.
Reactions to the vaccine, et cetera. And then the 100,000 dead because of COVID, that is a number that he's pared down the estimates of those who died from COVID because of the overinflation that of those numbers that had been used by the U.S. government and others in the media.
Now, I am relying on him for the degree of overrepresentation, but I think it's fairly commonly known among conservatives, certainly those who have been looking at this, hospitals got more money from the government if you died of COVID. And a lot of people that went in mysteriously got COVID once they got to the hospital.
Because they were paid by the government to treat people in the hospital because they had COVID.
Right.
So if you said they had COVID. Now, look, I this is tricky what we're talking about here because a lot of hospitals with good people in it. But the fact is, those are businesses. Hospitals are businesses. And if the federal government is holding out money to you to say, if you have someone in your hospital, you're treating them, we're paying the hospital, whatever it was, $15,000 a pop or whatever.
I don't know what it was. But
you know, that is hard to turn down.
And the drug companies also were funded by the government, taxpayers, to do this too. So a lot of money.
So I'm guessing that Dr. McCullough, when we've had him on tons of times across American Family Radio since COVID.
I talked to him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So we will find out about how these numbers are treated after he is testifying.
We'll be watching the testimony today.
By the way, that is shocking. If that's true, 600,000 dead because of the vaccine, 100,000 dead because of COVID. That would be
in the U.S.
That would be stunning.
That's what he's saying. All right. You talked earlier in the show. I heard you guys talking about the cover-up, the Biden cover-up.
Possible cover-up.
Possible cover-up.
Yeah.
Well, one of the people who's kind of admitting to being part of the cover-up is Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper's got a book coming out.
CNN's Jake Tapper.
CNN's Jake Tapper has a book coming out. And he is doing the media rounds. And in some cases, his feet are being held to the fire. I want you to hear a discussion that he had with Megyn Kelly. So Jake Tapper, for the entire Biden presidency, to many people appeared that he downplayed obvious mental decline.
Right.
Cancer wasn't in the discussion at the point, but the mental decline was everywhere as far as conservative media and just the eye test. The guy couldn't find his way off a stage. There's something wrong. And the mainstream media, including Jake Tapper, covered it up, according to many. And now Jake Tapper is writing a book about how the media covered it up. Yes. Why don't you listen to this conversation he had with Megyn Kelly, Cut 12.
You didn't follow up on the fact that he was falling up the stairs, that he was losing his train of thought regularly, that he was slurring, that he was incomprehensible, that he was getting lost on the White House lawn. You sat right across from him and you asked none of that, notwithstanding the fact that he had promised you he would be fully transparent about his health issues.
That's true, but I did ask him about his age and the fact that the American people had concluded that even though he said whenever anybody brought up the subject of his age, watch me. And I said,
yes,
they're watching you and they are concerned that you were too old for this job.
But you know as well as I do that there's a way of, you can say, hey, there's this poll on your age, or you could say, you just forgot that Jackie Walorski was dead. You asked where she was moments after watching a videotape tribute to her. You lowered the flags at the White House after she died. This happened 13 days before you sat with him. There is a way of pressing a man like that on the actual infirmities to bring it home to him and to the audience, and you didn't do it.
That's the job of a journalist right there.
Yes.
Megyn Kelly, do it. Same.
Megyn Kelly, and, yes. And here's why. You want somebody on your show. Megyn Kelly needs people like Jake Tapper on her show to get views.
It's a podcast.
Yeah. So you a journalist runs the risk, is always in that tight spot of saying, if I press Jake Tapper too far, he's never coming back on my show. Okay, but if I don't press him, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
And she passed the test.
Several times, he said to her, well, I knew you were going to be asking me these questions.
Yeah. Sure he did, because he went on her show because he has a book to sell.
Yes.
And I don't blame him. You know, when you have a book to promote, you've got to go on shows that are conservative and liberal and in between. You're trying to promote your book to as many people as you can. Yeah. Megyn Kelly has a huge following on her podcast. So that's the reason Jake Tapper went on there. Jake Tapper from against CNN. But listen, all these people knew, including Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe. And he was saying this is the best. In March of last year, he was saying this was the best Biden ever and things like that. And then he tried to, yesterday I saw where he was trying to explain his way out of that one. It just wasn't, he wasn't getting off the ground with that explanation. What it was, sometimes things are as simple as what they appear to be. What it was almost all these people like Jay Tapper and Joe Scarborough, they're all liberals. 90% of them in the mainstream media are liberal Democrats. Joe Biden was their guy. Donald Trump was an anathema.
Right.
Had to be stopped. He's Hitler. So if we have to stop Hitler, we don't want to hurt our guy.
Right.
We don't, by reporting he has dementia or reporting, you know, that he's what everybody knows to be true, we're just going to pretend like everything's okay.
Yeah.
Why? Because we have to pretend. Otherwise, Trump wins.
Right.
So, listen, I don't mind if you do that, as long as you don't call yourself objective journalist.
Right.
Yeah. Just say, we're for our team, and our team is Democrats, and we may work for NBC and CNN and the New York Times and whatever, but we can't let the other team win, so we're going to do everything we can to promote our side. And if it means we have a dementia-riddled president, that's fine. As long as it stops.
Right.
Right.
Orange man bad. Remind me, tomorrow I want to play some John Stewart. He has a hilarious take on the book. Okay. Also, one of the friends of the ministry texted me beforehand and said, we need to pray for Joe Biden because this whole thing about the cancer and everything, he's not got a long time on this earth, regardless of cancer, and he needs Jesus.
Oh, that is a biblical.
Amen. We'll ask our listeners today to say a prayer for Joe Biden, former president.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And Fred, appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks to Chris Woodward. We didn't have a guest today, did we? So Brent Creeley, our producer. Thank Brent. Thank you for listening, everybody. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We'll see you back here tomorrow.